Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be here with you. It's good to have the opportunity to preach God's Word to you. I missed Brother Bill, though, in getting his message this morning. I want to take some time and really kind of share with you sort of a passage that spoke to me as I began early on in my pastorate, or pastoring. Matter of fact, when I retired for about 40 years, but my second church thing, let me start out and kind of tell you, and then we're going to get in the passage. When I came out of seminary, I was 25. I had never been on staff in church and never pastored. I grew up in church. I taught Sunday school at times. The Lord called me to preach when I was 13. He saved me when I was 13 at church camp. And I went back to church camp. The first year I went just because, we were going to swim every day. There was going to be all my friends. There was going to be girls. There was going to be Snack Shack, and I'd have money. I could go and get a Coke anytime I wanted to. But after I got saved, the next year I went back is because I had a tremendous experience there spiritually, and I wanted to go back. And I was expecting something great. Well, the Lord called me into the ministry at 14. Now, you have to understand that I was a very shy guy, okay? Matter of fact, I can remember when I was 16 giving an oral book report. Have any of y'all ever given oral book reports? I was so nervous. I liked to draw at that time, and so I had drawn a lot of pictures. As I began to get up and give the report, I was shaking so much, my papers fell out of my hand, and they fell on the ground, and I couldn't pick them up off the floor because my hands were shaking. I kind of felt like Belshazzar when he saw the handwriting on the wall, and it says you kind of got like, this is the way I felt. The teacher had mercy on me, picked my papers up for me, gave them back to me, even gave me a decent grade. So I started preaching when I was about 16 that year. I don't remember shaking when I did that. My dad went with me, and later on some deacons went with me as we went to different churches. And from then on, my life was set on that course. And so I went off to Ouachita. I went from Ouachita, I went to New Orleans Baptist Seminary. In between, while I was in college, I got married to my sweetheart, who I'd gone to church with since fifth grade. Now, Karen, she's sitting right back there. Aren't you back there? Yeah, I can barely see her. I decided that so many of the guys were going to go. They were saying, "We're gonna go back home." A lot of them down there, you know, were like from Alabama, Louisiana, maybe Texas, the east side of Texas. And so they said, "We're going to go back home." You know, that's all they were talking about. They didn't want to go anyplace else. They wanted to go back home. I said, "Well, Lord, I'm not going to go back home. I'm going to go wherever you want me to go. I'll stay here in New Orleans. I'll do apartment ministry." Unst to me knowing. My associational missionary always requested young men that were graduating from seminary that were from his association. He requested from the seminary our resume. In our senior year, the seminary requested that we fill out a resume and keep it on file. So I didn't even know it had left. Okay, and I get a call from First Baptist Church Mulberry. And they call me and say, "We'd let you come down and preach." Well, you know, I had this kind of idea in my mind. I didn't really feel particularly led there. But I thought, well, at least I'll get to go back home. I'll see Mom and Dad, and I'll just... Well, we were in church that morning, and they were calling me as a staff associate pastor, and I was going to be youth director and start the children's church and start bus ministry. And I was sitting in the service that morning, and we were just, you know, just enjoyed being there. I had a little time with Mom and Dad and Karen with her folks. And it didn't cost us anything. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to come here. I said, okay. I came here. Came to First Baptist, that is Mulberry. And the Lord blessed. I'd never done a bus ministry, never done children's church. I went to a Jim Vineyard bus conference for training, and we came back and we kicked one off, and it was rural. He said that year we had 46 professions of faith, adults and children. Our bus ministry was a rural one, and we ran 5 buses. We ran out in the sticks. Our best bus we kept on paved roads. The rest of them we ran out. We picked up kids. I had 125, some adults, some youth, mostly kids. We'd bring them in. Church started out around 125, and we were there 3.5 years, and they got up to close to 400. We had 30-something people saved about every year and added to the fellowship. And, I said, wow. And I came from First Baptist Church, Van Buren. That's where I grew up. It was the biggest church in our association at that time. They ran about 600 as we were kids. And I was thinking, well, I'm going to be pastoring, one of these big churches one of these days. Church came and visited me in view of a call. That is, they came back one Sunday morning. They sat on the back of the auditorium while I was in children's church, if I remember right. And children's church, we had it divided up into 3 groups, and I conducted one like a regular service. Had the kids take the offering, had them to sing, sometimes sing, and we kind of did it like that. So they're sitting back there. So after that, they talked with me a little bit, and I said, Karen, we decided we'd go look. So wasn't that far, and I went to look at this other church. And I thought, we could do the same thing there that we've done here. I catch that we've done here. And they extended a call to me, and I accepted. I went. I was there a week. Nothing had happened other than the Lord spoke to me and reminded me that He did not say, go. I said, oh Lord, what am I to do? Should I resign here after a week? What do you want me to do? You come back, no, you'll stay. I preached there about the first 6 months I was there, and after the first 6 months, I started preaching this series on the sins of the world sins in general, and then sins of the church. And when I did that, I made some people upset. The church had run off its pastors, almost one for every 2 years for 50 years, I think it was. Or 100 years, excuse me, 100 years. Get close to that. They had this attitude, kind of, you're just passing through. And at that rate, yeah, we were just passing through. And after that 6 months, I started getting ugly letters. Through the time the Lord left me there. I was there 6 months. I was there 4 years. Secret meetings. I had certain little antagonists, that Sunday morning when you're getting ready to preach, they'd come up and have to say something ugly to you, This reminds you 2 things, and I'll tell you this right now. There's no perfect church, and there's no perfect pastor. Okay? Just keep that in mind. And you're not perfect either. And there's only one, and He is who? Jesus, that's it. He's the only perfect one. And along the way, churches will make mistakes.
Pastors will make mistakes, and you will make mistakes. And righteous men fall, as the Proverbs say. A righteous man will fall, but seven times, but he'll get up. And I want to remind you, when you're looking at other people, pointing a finger and how wrong they are, or how wrong the church, remember, you always have three pointing back at you. Most of the time, what we need to do when we see people stumbling and falling is get up and pray ourselves lest we fall. And pray for them. Because God will raise His children back up. It was a humbling experience that I needed. Lord, we still saw souls saved. And we still saw growth in the church. But I was going into the office one morning. And this is what helped me to stay. See, as I said, 6 months, and the Lord kept me there for another 3.5 years. It made me doubt. You know, I said, Lord, you sure about this? I've done all this training, but I don't, they don't want me. Lord said, in that time, He reminded me that I'm going to call you the churches that are going to have problems. And you're going to have to love them anyway. He gave me a verse. During that time, I was reading scripture and reading a daily devotional put out by Evangelism Explosion. I think it was called The Daily Walk. And this passage was in there that this morning I want to share with you. It helped me get through those tough times. It is a passage, by the way, that was Peter wrote to pastors. It's in 1 Peter. I want to say 2 Peter, but it's 1 Peter, 5th chapter. I'm going to start at the 5th verse this morning. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. I remind you, and I want to tell you one thing the Lord taught me right off, is that I did not do what happened at First Baptist Mulberry. God did that. There's not a one of us that saves a soul. There's not a one of us that grows a church. God says He grows the church. And He does the soul saving. We can sow the seed. And we may water, as Paul would say, but it's always God that gives the increase. Humility is a great thing, because God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And if I was going to start walking with God, I had to get on track with God. The day I thought that I did and said, I did this, or thought in my mind, I did that, which God did, all I should recognize that pride had already welled up in me. And pride will be one of the things in your walk that you'll have to struggle with. And it's a pretty sneaky thing. It'll slip up on you. You'll think you're doing so well. That's when the problem comes. You know, when things are going good, you're like, look what I have done. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject unto one another, even in your relationship with others, by the way. For God resists the proud, and He giveth grace to the humble. And you always need His grace to serve. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He'll exalt you in due time. Before I go any further, I want to read a passage to you out of Luke, the 9th chapter. Some very words that our Lord said. He said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what is a man's advantage if he gains the whole world and loses himself or be cast away? Listen, when he says, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. That doesn't necessarily sound like he's promising you that an easy way. I'm just simply saying, sometimes there's struggles. God didn't forget you were there. They're there. And they're there for your own benefit. Oh, no, you say, Pastor, you're fooling me now. No, look. Listen to James. See if this doesn't go along what you just heard out of Luke. James, a servant of the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. And they were scattered abroad because they had been persecuted. Okay? That's the reason they were scattered abroad. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall to diverse temptation or trials, testing, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfected entire, wanting nothing. Now, reading that, and kind of keep that in mind as we go through this passage, and you understand what I want. You know, it'll put some things together for you in your mind. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And God will exalt you. He'll lift you up out of a situation. It may be a difficult situation in His time, not your time. Now, I would have liked it if the Lord had changed things for me in about the, well, by the end of the year. Instead, He let me linger on there 3 more years. And I got to admit, and I know it did, I know He did, He prepared my heart for the rest of my ministry. I know He crushed me and reshaped me and made me fit to go on in the walk with Him. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And I'll tell you how I made it. You know, the Jesus in the passage we read out of Luke says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. What's it say next? Daily. I learned to live one day at a time. I get up and go over to my office and pray and just cast my cares upon the Lord. I could have a rough Sunday and get up the next morning and walk over there and just lay it on the Lord and get up and go on. One day at a time. And I tell you, you may find yourself one day in the midst of a trial. I can guarantee you, you're going to have some trials in life. And you can go through them. You can do it one day at a time. If you'll bring your cares and cast them on the Lord, doesn't matter what it is. Does it matter if it's illness? Does it matter if it's death? You've lost a loved one. It doesn't matter if it's a great financial loss. It doesn't matter if it's a difficult job situation, a difficult school situation. God will help you. But it's one day at a time. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. He do careth for you. And by the way, I learned as I went along that it was not only the little big things, but it's the little things. How many of you have ever made a mountain out of a molehill? You ever done that? You know that expression? You got all upset. You realize later it wasn't that big a deal. You might have got a little radical even. You know what I mean, radical? Have you ever got radical? You know, you're just kind of next to losing it. Then realize it wasn't that big a deal. Instead of going radical, go to the Lord. Okay. I remember we were up on the roof at church at Gregory Baptist, and we were just, this is a little simple thing, but it was an easy, it was just a little lesson.
We were putting vinyl up over old wood siding, and we had got down to about the last. It went real smooth up until the very last piece. And we spent 45 minutes on this last little piece trying to get it cut in there. It looked good. And stop. My good friend and me, there was two of us, two grown men. You know, we were just trying to put in this last little piece. We were cutting it and re-putting it on. And I said, let's just pray. We're getting frustrated with it. We prayed, turned around, put the piece in. Got down off the roof. No, even the little things, the Lord's interested. Notice what he says. He says, cast all your cares upon the Lord. Cast all your cares. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant. Really, it is a encouragement in prayer and to be spiritually alert. Because our adversary, who is always our adversary, is always looking for the opportunity to take us down. You know, when Jesus, one of the Gospels, and I can't think which one of it is, you know, the Gospels, sometimes they'll tell a story. One of them tell a little something, the other one didn't tell. And one of them says, after the devil tempts Jesus in the wilderness, it says it left him. He left him for a more opportune time. That is, he's going to be back. You know, we always think Jesus was tempted that one time. No, Jesus was tempted many times. But he just did not sin. You know, remember what Peter tried to once say, oh Lord, you're not going to be crucified. Oh, that's not going to happen. He says, get behind me, Satan. Satan's always looking to take you down. And you do have to be spiritually alert. We are in a spiritual battle all of our lives. The enemy is looking for that opportunity. Opportunity can be when there's success. In my situation, it was success. He was trying to take me down with success. It can be. He'll take you down when you feel bad. He'll take you down other ways. So we need to be spiritually alert. Always looking, always praying, being aware. And then he goes on. And you have to do Satan just like Jesus did. What did he do? He resisted him. When Satan would say this, he'd come back with scripture, really. He quoted him scripture. And matter of fact, sometimes Satan would even twist scripture and speak to him. And the Lord would speak back to him. And some people think, well, you was crazy to do that. I don't know if Jesus did it. I think sometimes when you hear something in your mind, and you're thinking, and you can answer it back with Scripture. Matter of fact, that is the benefit of memorizing Scripture. Okay? Hiding the Word in your heart has benefit, folks. And you're never too old to do that. Because your enemy will never stop coming at you. And that's the reason Peter wrote this. And he says, whom resists steadfast in the faith. Now that's not faith in faith, but it's faith in the Lord. You resist him through faith in our God. And you answer him with God's word. You're not strong enough to stand against Satan. You're not cunning enough. You're not smart enough not to stand on your own. You have to have the Lord. knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, a lot of times we can be going through difficult things, and have you ever said, woe is me? Have you ever thought, has this ever happened to anyone else? Have you ever got to feel sorry for yourself? Have you ever asked the Lord why? Or what am I to do next? Hey, the Lord will see you through. Just look to Him. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The same things. There's others in this world that are going through the same things that you are. You're not alone. And then, as we look through the scripture a little closer, he says, but the God of all grace, who has called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Now think of the passage we read out of James a while ago, how it talked about He was going to perfect you. Your patients were going to grow in a sense. He says, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you. Wow. Makes you stronger. Yeah, trials can make you stronger. When you go through with them with the Lord and He walks you through them, they make you stronger. They can perfect you. He'll use them to shape you, to crush you in a sense when you need crushing. He said, that is humble you, okay? So that you will look to Him and rely upon Him. And in the end, you're glorifying Him and not yourself or someone else. You realize that you stood. You've made it there. And you know it was Him. When I got through, I've looked back over the years and still learned from that experience. I learned, first of all, that it's God, as I said a while ago, that does the saving and He builds His church. It's not me. I learned that He was going to call me the pastor, and I was going to have to pastor people that were going to be difficult at times. Not that they all were. You know, even there, there was people that were, you felt like you were blessing them and they were blessing you. But I learned that if I was going to walk with Him, I was going to have to be willing to go where He goes. You can't go where you want to go and walk with Him, not with the Lord. You've got to follow Him. So I remind you, as you begin, some of you that are young, and you begin to think about careers, and you think about life, and you think about what you're going to do. Don't leave the Lord out of the picture. Realize that you're supposed to be following Him. He has a plan for your life. It may surprise you. You may think you didn't have the abilities to do those things, but I tell you, I didn't think I had the ability to pastor. And I think a lot of other people didn't think I had the ability to pastor. And I didn't. It was just the Lord. He got me there every step of the way. And you know, the Lord firmly told me that I was going to pastor the big church. And I realized early on, I just need to be willing to go wherever He goes, and whatever He wants to do, He does, and be content with that. I learned that the Lord would take care of my family. You know, I was worried. Sometimes you can get in a situation. He said, I grew up in the time a lot of churches says, Lord, their attitude was like this. He said, Lord, You keep them humble and we'll keep them poor. But I had four kids. Lord took care of it all the way. He's always provided. But the God of all grace has called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settles you. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Listen, God will do in your life what you're willing to let Him do. You turn your life over to Him and you follow Him. You don't look back at the past. You don't look at yourself and say, I can't. Because, as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me. And John said in the gospel, as Jesus was speaking, it wasn't John, and he says, without me, you can do nothing. You keep those things in mind, God will bless you. And you'll go through trials, and He'll be there. And He'll see you through those trials. And to get through those trials, you live them one day at a time. Let's all stand. Maybe in your own life this morning, you're going through a struggle. Maybe you have questions that God hasn't answered. Just keep looking to Him. Ask your brothers or sisters to pray for you. That's part of the benefit of a church, is that we can be there to encourage one another. That's the benefit of coming to Sunday school, that sometimes you can hear the word that will encourage you. That will prepare you for the next trial, or coming to a worship service and hearing the word. It will prepare your heart for the next thing to come. God speak to you. He may call you into doing something. You say, well, I've never taught Sunday school, and God may speak to you and say one Sunday morning, but you're going to. You can say, I don't think I can. He's going to say, I'm going to be with you. Oh, yes, you can. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, know there may be some here this morning. We all go through struggles. Know the very likelihood there's somebody here this morning that's really having a struggle. Lord, help them to look to You and realize that You'll see them through. To just trust You and humble themselves before You and take it one day at a time. Knowing that You'll perfect them, and You will exalt them in due time. You'll give them the victory. They will overcome it as they look to You. Lord, may their hearts be encouraged. May they sense Your presence with them. And Lord, know that You'll never fail. Father, we just pray now that Your will be done as we give this time for invitation. If there's some here, dear Heavenly Father, that don't know You as their Savior and would like to accept You as their Savior, we pray, Lord, lay upon their heart to do that this morning. If there's others, Lord, that just need to just yield things to You and lay them upon You, cast their cares upon You, help them with that also, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that Your will be done, and in their lives You will be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. Bob?